It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
And we entertain your call right now. Of course, we have Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk today about employment-related issues, covenants, mm-hmm. not to compete, non-solicitation clauses, confidentiality agreements, those type things. You know, these are restrictions that we often see in employment contracts, or sometimes they come in separate documents.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important for many employers to have that type of language to protect their business, to protect their customer list, any trade secrets,
right.
that type of thing. And, you know, employees certainly, you know, should recognize that they may be subject to those type of restrictions, but mm-hmm. there's the law only allows them to go so far.
Right.
So we're going to talk a
right.
little bit about this on both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
So, Ben, a covenant not to compete. Again, I don't know that I recall us talking about this on
no,
the program
so.
Before, but I think it might be interesting. I hope it is for our listeners this morning. A covenant not to compete, that is an agreement between parties, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that should there be a dissolution or a departure of the employee, or the owner even of the business, it could be an owner, it could be any parties to an agreement,
mm-hmm.
that for a period of time, and usually for a particular geographic area,
right.
okay, this person or this party will not enter into a similar or competing business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, again, this is contractual language, and it can be really anything that any two people or parties agree to.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, it could be that they just agree not to solicit or compete with the current client or customer list
mm-hmm.
of that business.
Right.
They can go out and get new business, let's say, or that could be what the agreement could say, but they can't solicit any current clients. Geographic area, you know, Eastern North Carolina, Carteret County,
mm-hmm.
Carteret, Craven, Onslow County, state of North Carolina.
Depending on the business,
you know,
yeah.
Southeastern United States, with the mm-hmm. states being itemized as to what those states are. I mean, anything is negotiable in these contracts. It is a matter of contractual language. But Wes is correct in that the language is going to be looked at strictly. It's going to be strictly construed, and it's going to have to be reasonable. And what do we mean by reasonable? We mean, you know, the geographic region has to be
mm-hmm.
Limited. The time limit. Is it for 1 year? Is it for 3 years? Is it for 5 years? Things of that nature. And it's going to have to look and walk and talk in a reasonable manner. And why is that, Ben? The reason for that is that, you know, the courts do not want to encourage, if you will, a restraint on business,
mm-hmm.
A shutdown of free commerce. We don't want to have agreements that affect our economic means in that manner. We
mm-hmm.
want these agreements to have a rational relationship to the facts. We want them to be reasonable, and we want them to be, you know, limited in geographic scope and limited in time. But they are enforceable,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they need to have consideration. A company just can't come out of the blue 5 or 10 years after an employee's been working with them
right.
and say, now these are the rules and regulations.
I mean, that does happen.
It does happen, but there needs to be consideration for that
in other
at
words,
that time.
They need to get paid or get some
it
other
needs to
somethings.
Be, you know, contractual, reduce that to a contractual agreement, and there needs to be, you know, an increase, a significant increase in pay or a one-time bonus stipend,
mm-hmm.
something to give that meeting of the minds some, as we lawyers say, quid pro quo or consideration.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I know in my own experience in the radio industry and some other people and family even, is that often these agreements aren't paid much attention to when they, when somebody gets hired. They're so happy to get a job.
Sure.
So, but it's when they want to leave,
right,
or they get an offer to go somewhere else. That's when it comes into play.
Right. Ben, you know, we've represented folks on both sides of this many, many, many times over the years, and it's a completely different analysis, you mm-hmm. know, when you're looking at it from a perspective of an employer as compared to an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the employee standpoint first.
Right.
I don't think employees generally, you know, should necessarily, or prospective employees should look at the possibility of being bound by a covenant not to compete as being a deal breaker, you know, going into a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of piggybacking on what you're saying there. I think it's something that can be considered, but in many businesses, it's something that you often see. Interestingly, in some businesses, you can't have one as a matter of law. For example, attorneys can't have one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Our associate attorneys, we cannot bind them with regard to if they want to leave us
mm-hmm.
and they want to go open up a shop right next to us.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that. We can't. And the reason why is because the law supports free access to, you know, legal services.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no such thing as a covenant not to compete, you know, in that regard. So when we're talking about an employee who is subject to a covenant not to compete, and also we oftentimes see the non-solicitation clause, which is don't solicit our customers.
Right.
Don't solicit our customers once you leave.
Oh, okay.
Don't try
right.
to take our customers with you.
Right.
You know, non-solicitation clause, confidentiality agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's trade secret type information, you know, don't come work for us for a month, learn everything we do, or mm-hmm. for a year or whatever, learn everything we do and then go kind of steal it
right.
from us and go do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So all of these type of restrictions, in many cases, when we look at these covenants not to compete, really are kind of rolled up into the same type of
right.
language. So, but if you're an employee and you're in a situation where you don't like the job
mm-hmm.
and you have another opportunity and you want to move on somewhere else, but you do have this restrictive language, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Well, one option would be quit.
Mm-hmm.
Go start the other job
and see what happens.
Hope you don't get sued.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the way they're enforced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another one would be, all right, if the territory is just, for example, where we are, Carteret County, there would be an option to go to Craven County or to Onslow County or to, you know, a neighboring county,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you don't expose yourself to that liability. Going to an attorney up front, I think, is a good idea before the decision is made, you know, to go ahead and stop the mm-hmm. employment and then move on to the other job, especially if you think that the other job is, by the language of the covenant not to compete, in violation.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, we've had situations where such employees have asked us to look at the covenants not to compete, and we have found very clear issues and problems with them
right.
that would allow the employee to basically safely mm-hmm. make a move from one job to the other. You know, one issue, as Cecil touched on a moment ago, is the consideration issue.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about consideration, we talk about something to support the bargain, something to support this bargain for exchange. Our law in North Carolina is very clear that continued employment is not good enough. So if we're talking about a covenant not to compete, if you've been working in a position and then all of a sudden your employer comes to you and says, look,
yeah,
we're going to have to let you go
unless
you sign this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you sign that and you continue to work and then you leave later, that covenant not to compete in almost every case will not be enforceable if there is not some additional consideration, like a reasonable bonus,
mm-hmm.
an increase in pay,
extra vacation, you
know, extra something like mm-hmm. that. There has to be some type of reasonable consideration to support that.
Mm-hmm.
Other things we look at, of course, as Cecil mentioned, time and territory. All right. Most courts are not going to enforce a 10-year covenant not to compete.
Mm-hmm.
5 years is stretching it in most cases.
Right.
Normally we see about a year, sometimes two, maybe three, depending on the circumstances. Territory, if this is, since we're talking about, I'm talking about Carteret County, if it's a Carteret County business, and that's really the only place that we do business, a covenant not to compete that covers
other
Virginia,
places,
North Carolina, and South Carolina, it's not going to be enforceable. Now from a drafting standpoint, what we see in many cases is that we have like a tiered approach to territory.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is it may state this covenant not compete covers Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. If not enforceable, then it just covers North Carolina. If not enforceable, then it covers, you know, the surrounding 10 counties that we name.
Mm-hmm.
If not enforceable, it covers the surrounding 3 counties. If not enforceable, it covers Carteret County. It's because the courts in North Carolina do have the right to basically blue pencil, which is mark through and make a determination that these certain restrictions basically on territory or time, okay,
right,
are unenforceable, but they can't write in new territory or new time. So that, you know, a well-drafted document,
they might be able to trim it down.
They
but
can
not,
trim it down. That's a good way to put it in layman's terms. Absolutely.
Okay.
So, yep.
All right. We'll have more to come in just a moment. You have questions, too, about this, about non-compete contracts and all the other kinds of employment enforceability. You can give us a call, 247-7282, or anything on the civil side of your legal issues, 247-7282. Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Of course, we're with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins and is on Let's Talk Legal. And we're talking about the enforceability or the construction of these covenants, employment covenants. And
The best place for these provisions to have their origin, Ben, is the employment contract that is negotiated at the beginning of the employment. There's obviously, or at the beginning of, I might also add, and let's not forget this, the business, the joining of two folks into a business.
Right.
That is also a, let's say that there is a business and then the senior partner elects to bring in, you know, a junior investor into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe it's the real estate business. Maybe it's the dental business or the medical business. Maybe it is physical therapy or dermatology, any kind of business at all, and they're bringing in, you know, a younger generation into the business, and maybe they are also going to be a minority partner in some way, minority shareholder in the business. At that point, there can be an agreement that should this business relationship not continue for some reason, then this new business owner and or employee would be limited in some way as to how she and or he are able to practice their or do that business in a particular area for a particular amount of time. So it's not always employee.
Right. No doubt about that. You know, we were talking about other areas where maybe you can attack a covenant not to compete. You know, the time, the territory, we talked about, you know, like you said, limiting it by striking certain sections, and then it, you know, we move down the line to the less restricted sections. You know, overriding concept, and there's, you know, a lot of case law really across the country and in North Carolina about that the covenant has to protect a legitimate business interest. So, I mean, that's a really broad thing.
But
the court can evaluate that to make the determination as to whether this covenant is necessary to protect this interest, whether it is excessively broad, you know, in any way as it relates to, you know, just the language of what it's trying to protect as well. So then the question is, what in the world happens in the event that an employer thinks that it's been breached and wants to do something about it, or an employee has breached it? Well, we end up in court at that point in time, and many times there might be a demand letter sent mm-hmm. first. The demand letter may indicate you're in breach of this section of the covenant not to compete, the non-solicitation clause, your confidentiality agreement, return our computer, return this, return
right,
that.
Right.
You know, you sent this information to yourself. We found out about that. We want this back. We don't want it to be, you know, disseminated out in the public or used for your benefit, you know, those type things. And then, you know, in the event that there's not an affirmative response to that where, you know, that information is given back or there's an agreement that's reached with regard to any type of competition, then obviously a lawsuit in many cases is filed. And,
mm-hmm.
and what comes along with these type lawsuits in almost every situation is either an immediate request for a TRO, which is a temporary restraining order, which can be done even before service of
mm-hmm.
the complaint, can be done ex parte, meaning can be done without the other party being there, just present to the judge. It can be done immediately. In North Carolina, you have to try to find the other party and let them know
right.
about it, but still,
right.
that's under Rule 65. And then also there's a motion for a preliminary injunction, which is the TRO is the really quick remedy, but it's only good for 10 days. But then you get back before the court within 10 days and argue
mm-hmm.
out kind of the initial merits of everything. And the court makes a determination
yeah.
as to whether there's going to be some type of injunction, meaning a restriction put on the employee until
mm-hmm.
we get to the end of this case.
If you enter into an employment agreement with somebody, does the non-compete agreement have to be a separate agreement?
No, it does not. In many cases, the employment agreement and the non-compete are all in the same document.
But
in many cases,
they're contracts, so they're negotiable. I mean, right?
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. They're negotiable. Many times they're in the same agreement, but in the event there's a separate agreement, then they need to be executed basically simultaneously.
Right.
Before the employment begins. That's
mm-hmm.
just the right way to do it. Don't go do it later on unless some circumstances have changed and
mm-hmm.
it's time to do that. But you might need to do that with a raise for the employee, for example,
mm-hmm.
so that we've got consideration support.
Because I knew somebody, and I was in a pretty large market, but I knew someone who had a non-compete. But they said but they negotiated that if they got an offer from was their dream station, if
right.
they got an offer from there, they'd be allowed to go. So they negotiated that.
Yeah,
so.
There's carve outs
mm-hmm.
as far as that type of situation. It's negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the employee goes,
right.
you know, the employer could say, "Well, I'm not going to go with this. We're just not going to hire you."
Right.
So it's not necessarily a level playing field, you know, if you really want that job.
Yeah, that's right.
But just go into it with eyes wide open, knowing that, you know, there may be some restrictions in the event it doesn't work out.
Yeah, another one I've seen come up has been something that you couldn't go to a direct competitor. So the question becomes, well, is it really direct? You know, so.
Well, you know, the proof's in the pudding with regard to everything. The details matter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, for example, for territory, say, you know, Eastern North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is Eastern North Carolina? We need to know exactly the line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where does this stop? Where does this?
Right.
I mean,
right.
is Eastern North Carolina
coast?
Is it Goldsboro?
Yeah,
I mean, is
right.
it East Raleigh, Johnston County? I don't really know where it
yeah.
stops. But if
it's
we
like
identify the actual county, if we identify the actual county,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes, you know, we see, I don't really like this language that much. We see a distance of 100 miles
right.
from Carteret County or
right.
from Craven County or whatever, 50 miles or something like that. You know, personally, I like the exact territory
yes.
being defined, such as this county, this state, that state, you know, that type of thing. But you can't leave it open to, territories that we're not exactly sure where the line is, because then you end up in court arguing
right.
about where that line is.
More to come in a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, talking about employment contracts and contracts for non-compete clauses as well, too. We'll have all that coming up in a moment. Hey, welcome back to Let's Talk Legal, 247-7282. If you'd like to get a question in here this morning, talking about employment contracts and non-competes. Is a non-compete avoided when, if a person's fired?
Well, you have to look at the contract.
Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not.
Well, they're probably not. I mean, if you had good cause to do it. But, I mean, you would have a really good argument in the event that, let's say, that the person is hired and was only there for a week, and there's a one-year covenant not to compete. You would have a good, Mr. Employee would have a good argument that, you know, I signed this based on my understanding that I was going to have this employment. I had it for a week. That's like, I think the court would have a problem with that.
Ben, last to end our program today, just on something that I think might be interesting, a few sentences for our listeners. You know, two people, two parties or more can agree to anything. As long as it does not violate public policy. And that's the law. You know, folks can agree to anything, but it's going to have that public policy test. Does it alienate the ability to sell the property? We've talked about that.
Right.
Does it affect commerce? We've talked about that, Ben. Does it affect the marketability of the property, the land? Can it not be sold freely? We've talked about that. Again, of course, illegal, you know, activity can, you know, cannot be agreed to. But the bottom line is that folks in these contexts of covenants not to compete, protecting confidential information, they really can agree to anything, again, as long as it doesn't violate a public policy.
That should employment contracts also include, how employment may end, like a severance agreement and things like
that? Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's, you know, it kind of depends on the circumstances, but
and what you're allowed to say.
That kind of goes to the question you asked a moment ago. You know, as far as the basis for terminating the employment, that type of thing. Employment contracts can include that. They don't have to include that. If they don't, then obviously we're a at-will state, so the employer would have the right to terminate really at any point in time. You know, we then get into issues with regard to unemployment, you know, benefits and that kind of thing. So there's usually some advice that when the employer is considering letting someone go, or maybe there's a circumstance like that, sometimes some legal advice on that issue is important too, so as to make the right decision about how to handle that.
Yeah, right. I mean, mostly it's they just don't want you to badmouth them. Yeah, if some circumstances require somebody to close and or merge even and lay people off. So,
But these covenants not to compete, non-solicitation agreement, I mean, there's certainly a place for them. They're very important. They're guarded in the law. The cases are pretty specific as it relates to what is allowed, what's not allowed. There's lots and lots of cases. But, you know, because this is a contract, there are so many different situations that are dealt with in our courts.
Right.
So,
and it's all negotiable.
It's negotiable, yep.
All right. If you want to find out more, you can call on the folks at Harvell & Collins, Attorneys at Law. Go online at harvellandcollins.com to listen to past shows.